Can I invite you please to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts in the chapter number 2. And as you're turning up, can I just take the opportunity while I'm here? I don't think I've actually been in a service in this church for coming up to nearly a year now, because I've been busy with other engagements speaking. But I take this opportunity just to thank the people here for your prayerful support and also your financial support over my 4 years in college. The Lord has been very good. I haven't completed yet. Some people have been asking me, why am I still wearing my uniform? Well, I don't graduate till September, and so I'll still wear the uniform until then. And then after that, I never want to see a navy suit again in my life. 4 years of wearing the same suit is enough. But the Lord has been so good to us, and I want to thank the congregation here. Just you've been so good to me and my wife, and the Lord has really blessed us. Acts chapter 2 in the verse number 38. Acts 2 in the verse 38, just this one verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Would you all stand please for a word of prayer? Stretch the legs. Seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have again to come tonight and to bring the Word of God. And Lord, as we look around, O Lord, we realize the solemnity of such a meeting. We realize how many, O God, are in. And Lord, they've never trusted Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that tonight that the Spirit of God would come down, even here at this Children's Day, and that boys and girls and mums and dads and friends and family might be spoke to. That they would see their own personal need of putting their trust in Jesus Christ and of repenting of their sin. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us tonight, give us help as we would bring thy word. May it be done for thy glory and for thy honor. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this morning we were learning about a man called Naaman. And what we learned from the life of Naaman was that Naaman showed to us that God has only provided for us one way that we can be saved. And if God has told us that there is this way to be saved through putting our faith and trust in Him and turning from our sin, then there is no other way. No matter how good a way we think up, there is no other way that our sin can be removed. And there's no other way that we can find the place of forgiveness except we come God's way. And tonight I want to learn another, or go through another lesson concerning another person who learned that there was only one way of forgiveness. And tonight I want to speak about a man who had two sons. He had two sons. I'm sure you all know the story. One of the most popular stories in the Bible. It's called most commonly the story of the prodigal son. But whenever we stand up and whenever we're often speaking and we're telling people and we're urging people that they need to be saved and they need to trust in Jesus Christ, even though God has only given us one way, so often people don't take heed and people don't seem to care. You know, some people, whenever it comes to God's word, they don't put on headphones in church or they'll be told to take them off, but this is what they really do. It's like they put on these headphones and they don't want to hear. They don't want to listen to the word of God, and they shut their ears to hearing God's truth because they don't want to hear God's word. And even whenever you see people today, there's always something going into their ears. Because what we'll see tonight was the first part or the first point of the prodigal son getting back home was he started to think. He started to think. But people often, they flood their head with all this stuff and music so they won't hear the word of God. But then the second thing people do when they're hearing the word of God is so often they would blind themselves to God's truth. And people often try to blind themselves to their greatest need of Jesus Christ. And whenever the preacher is preaching, they're saying, preacher, I don't want to see the truth. And how often people do that. They don't want to hear the truth of God. They don't want to see the truth. And even sometimes you might get people who would turn around and say, stop telling me that gospel message. But Jesus Christ, throughout his ministry, spoke time and time again of our need to receive forgiveness. And one day he was in a house. And in this house there was two groups of people. And these groups of people, they couldn't have been more different than chalk and cheese. One group was called the Pharisees. The Pharisees. And then there was another group, and it's described in Luke 15. They were called the publicans and sinners. One group were the people that were lifted up. They were the respected people of society. And the other group, they were the outcasts. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. One group realized that they were sinners. The other group thought they were self-righteous. The other group thought we can get to heaven, not God's way, but our own way. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to teach both of these groups of people was that both of them, even though they were really different, both of them had to come God's way and repent of their sin and find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus Christ begins to tell them a story. And he tells them a story about a father who had two sons. There was an older son and a younger son. And the younger son came up to his father one day, and he said to his father, "Listen, I am sick at being at home. I am sick of all the restraints that you have with me being at home. I can't do this and I can't do that. And I want to go away. Give me all the money that you're going to give me whenever you die." You could imagine the cheek of someone doing that. How rude for a child to walk up to his father and basically say, "I wish you were dead. Give me all the money." I could imagine if I walked up to my dad and said to him, "Give me that land that's yours, or give me the money that's left in your bank balance." I don't think I'd be standing on my feet too long. I think he would knock me out. But this father didn't act like that. He said to the son, "That's okay, son. This is all the money that you are going to get. Here it is. You can make your own choices. And you can think of the gladness and the joy that the prodigal son had. I've got all this money. I'm rich." And so he begins to make a plan. And the plan was this, that he was going to leave his home and he was going to go to a place, we're not told the name, but it's called the far country. And that's exactly what he did. He left his father's house and he went to a far country. And in that far country, he made a lot of friends. In that far country, he spent his money time and time again. But you know, there's a problem with spending money. And the problem is, whenever you have to buy a big house, that costs money. And whenever you have lots and lots of friends, and you have to feed those friends when they come over to your house, that takes a lot of money. And then whenever those friends are coming over, you have to look nice. So you have to go out and buy clothes. And then you're going to have to start decorating your house and look after all the things that you have. And before long, guess what happened? He ran out of money. All the money was gone. And maybe some of the parents are sitting thinking tonight, "Well, when my children came along, I definitely was out of money." But this prodigal son was clean broke. He had absolutely nothing. And he thought to himself, "Well, what am I going to do?" And to make matters worse, a famine came. And so he says, "This is what I'm going to do. I'll go and get a job." And he went out and he got one of the lowest jobs at that time that there could be, feeding the pigs in the field. Now, being a pig farmer nowadays, there's quite a bit of money in it, so any pig farmers here are well off. But back in those days, pigs were looked at as a disgusting, unclean animal. And anybody that was a pig farmer, they were looked down on, and they were the outcasts of society. And how far had this young man not fallen? He once was at home with all the things that the father could give him, and now he was feeding the pigs. But as I said, there was a famine in that country, and he began to get really, really hungry. And as he was feeding the pigs one day, he began to look down, and he saw that the pigs were eating, but he wasn't eating. And he looked down at the food that the pigs had, and he began to say, "If only I could eat a bit of that food, man, wouldn't that be great?" Now, if you went home today, and instead of your roast beef, instead of your potatoes, boys and girls, your dad brought out a bucket like this, and he emptied the bucket down, a wee bit for you, and a wee bit for your brother or sister, and you had to eat this animal food for dinner, wouldn't that be disgusting? it wouldn't be nice. And yet the Bible tells us that he was so hungry that he wanted to eat that food. But you know, the prodigal son teaches us a valuable lesson. And actually, back in the Old Testament, we see the lesson that the prodigal son teaches us. Because in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse 27, listen to this verse. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Now, how does that tie in with the prodigal son? Well, I have something here. Don't panic. Please work. Oh, it has to work. There we go. It works. Now, some of you might be able to see that, but there's a wee flame on the top of that. And what does your parents or your grandparents always tell you about fire? You're never to play with fire. And that's because, as that verse tells us, if you start playing about with fire and you use the fire and it gets onto your clothes, you're going to get burned. And if you play with fire, you get burned. What the prodigal son teaches us is this. Sin is like that fire. And when you play with sin, what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. You're going to get hurt. And not just is there consequences for sin in this life, but there's consequences for sin in the life that is to come. You see, someday, every single one of us is going to stand before God. And every single one of us, no matter if we're young or no matter if we're old, every one of us will give an account of our lives before God. And if we have not repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, all our sin will still be there. And we will have to be punished and charged for our sin. But remember that, boys and girls, whenever you see fire, that it reminds us of sin and that there's harm and that there's danger whenever you play with sin. But the prodigal does something. Remember what I mentioned at the start? He begins to think. Listen to what the Bible says about him. In verse number 17 of Luke 15, and when he came to himself, he begins to think and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and I perish? Now, that is the start of when a person gets back to God. They begin to think. And perhaps, boys and girls, you've been coming week after week to children's meeting, week after week to Sunday school, and you've even heard the lessons, you've memorized, you've learned. But I wonder, have you ever thought that you need to be saved? That you need a Savior? Not just the boys and girls, but what about the adults in here as well? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've just stopped and just thought? And thought not about just the temporary things, but thought about the important things. Your soul, the sin that you have, and the Savior that can save you. The prodigal son, he stopped. He began to think. And this is what he said to himself. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth before thee. There's something very important in that verse. After the prodigal son begins to think, he does something about it. He repents of his sin. And if we are to be forgiven of our sin, if we are to come the only one way that God has told us that there can be forgiveness, as we read these verses today, we must repent and trust in Jesus Christ. We also must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, as you've learned throughout the year, whenever you repent, you turn from your sin. You say, I'm not going to continue on with the way I've been living, but I'm going to turn away from it. And I'm going to turn to Jesus Christ. But unless there is repentance, there can be no salvation. Unless there is repentance, there can be no turning of sin and forgiveness of sin. And you could be here tonight and you could be thinking to yourself, well, you know what? I'll put a faith in Jesus Christ. I'll put a trust in him. Yes, I'll trust in him in a way. But let me say, you also need to repent. There also has to be repentance. Repentance is important if we are to know God's way of forgiveness. And that's what the prodigal son does. He gets up from where he's at, and he begins to make his journey home. And as he's journeying home, his father all this time has been looking out, waiting for his son. His father sees his son, and his father runs to meet him. His father runs to meet the son. He doesn't chastise the son. He doesn't rebuke the son, but he welcomes him. The Bible says that he had compassion, and that he kissed him, and that he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him. He was so glad to have his son back home again. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to teach the people in that room, remember there was two groups of people, those that knew they were sinful. And Jesus Christ was saying to them, you're like this younger son. You're like the prodigal that's lived a sinful life. But if you repent, God will forgive you. If you come to the Father, he will forgive your sin. And the Father forgave the son. And he gave the son something. He gave him three different things. The first thing that he gave him was he gave him a robe. He gave him a robe. And he put the robe around the son. Then he also gave him something else. He gave him a pair of sandals. He gave him a pair of sandals to wear. And then the third thing that he gave the son was he gave his son a ring. A ring. He gave him a robe, the sandals, and the ring. I don't have time tonight to go into what each of those things mean, but what it shows us, what all those things show to us is that the son was completely forgiven. Completely forgiven. The father didn't say to him, well, you know, I'm going to let you back into my house, but there's certain conditions. Or I'm going to bring you back into my house, but I'm going to hold some things against you. The father completely forgive. You see, boys and girls, when there is a turning from sin and a trusting in Jesus Christ, God will forgive. But there has to be repentance. There has to be a turning away from our sin and a trusting in Christ if we are to receive God's forgiveness. Now, you would think that everyone hearing this story would be happy. The father now throws a great party for the son, and everybody's in, and they're all having a good time. But remember, as I mentioned, Jesus Christ is speaking to another group of people. Speaking to those sinners and publicans in that room, and they're like the sinful son, the prodigal son that ran away from home and lived a sinful life. But there's another son. And the story goes on to say that there was another older brother. And Jesus Christ said that he was like the Pharisees. You see, the older son, whenever he heard, the father has forgiven him. The one who's wasted all his money. The one who has spent everything that my dad has worked for. He got angry. He got angry. You see, all these years he had been at home working. But he hadn't been working out of love for his father. He'd been working out of pride and arrogance within his heart. He was like the Pharisees who thought they earned the love of God by being good people and by earning it by good works. And yet Jesus Christ, to both of these types of people, both to those who were the sinful people, openly sinful, and to those who were the self-righteous, he says, both of you need to repent of your sin. Do you know, even in here in this meeting tonight, among the boys and girls, among mums and dads, there even is those two types of people. There could be those who acknowledge, I'm a sinner. I know that I have sinned. And there could be those that say, well, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. God loves me. And yet the lesson reminds us tonight, no matter who you are, no matter what group you fall into, you need to repent of your sin. You see, there is only one way. One way for everyone to be forgiven. And that is by, as we've learned today from the prodigal son, repenting of your sin. And by naming this morning, trusting in Jesus Christ. You know, boys and girls, you can do that tonight. You can even do it now, whenever you go home. You can even pray and ask the Lord and say, God, I'm going to turn from my sin. And I believe, I trust Jesus Christ, that He's able to take away my sin. And to everyone else here, you can be saved tonight. You can know tonight with all the assurance in your heart that you have been forgiven. If you'll come the one way that God has given, and you'll put your trust in Jesus Christ and turn from your sin.